Badgers Hashem Yisbarach, tomorrow night will be Purim. We talked a little bit about the importance of tefillah of Purim last time we convened. So we're going to just talk about all the aspects besides tefillah that will come up in, you know, whatever, 24, 48, you know, 90 hours, however long your Purim is. There's a lot of people I know in this world who are what they are, both for positive or negative, but almost all for positive because of Purim. Purim really can change them. Like in like 2 weeks from now, like when you know you won't even recognize Shulman because like he'll stop, you know, he'll start taking himself seriously and he'll be a different human being. It's going to be because of what he was able to accomplish on Purim. It's a very, very important day and a day to really find you know your true yeah, Baruch Hashem. We're bringing Florida to the classroom. Okay, we'll begin with Megillah reading. For those that need reminders, we are recording.
I'll slide down.
All right, even. Oh, what an opportunity! A lot of Florida next year. All right, we will begin tomorrow night, Be'ezus Hashem, with the Megillah. We're gonna read the Megillah. Megillah Esther is it's a fascinating story in of itself. Probably the only of the Megillahs that you know most people who are not Tanakh Buckies can actually understand. It's just a time full of miracles, and to really, to really internalize what's going on, and to really think about our lives. Like our lives are just full of miracles. Like last week, I was in my parking lot. This might be why my car is having issues, but I was driving, and you know, some people. I don't know. I haven't done this also, so this isn't a rip on anyone else that does it. But people have to like really like adjust their spots like 800 times to make sure they're like center of the line. And especially what's even crazier is when you're going in for like 30 seconds. Like nothing's gonna happen. Just pull in and pull out in 30 seconds. So I was going straight. While I was going, this guy was like pulling out. And our cars were, you know, whatever. I don't drive so slowly in parking lots. And he wasn't pulling out. So he wasn't reversing so slowly. So like in really like a half a second motion while in drive, I turned into reverse and like got out of the way. And this might be why my car's had issue for the last week and a half. I don't think you're supposed to do that to a car, but meaning whatever the issue with the car is, it's certainly better than somebody at me going probably 35, 40 miles an hour and him backing up and pretty close to that. What the collision would have been going straight into me. So, but like that's again, we have that throughout the day, throughout our lives, we have miracles like that are happening, and to internalize that, you know, for some people in this room, it might be a miracle that you're actually here today. You woke up that actually know that sometimes the right charter doesn't come in at 9:45. You know, that could be a miracle as well. But to focus on certainly the next couple of days, just what are things that are going on in my life that are just utter nisim? Like we all. You know, some could be like the Braves, they're finally winning the World Series, and that was pretty miraculous. Some are small, some are big, but to take that in, and it gives you a different appreciation for God once you start seeing that He really is the master of all. I had a friend over on Shabbos. He asked me if I talked to many of you were there. The other fellow who was at my Shabbos meal, he asked me if I ever talked to my former neighbor. I'm like, no, but meaning just because circumstantially we never see each other, okay? But I would talk to him if I saw him. Happened to me today, I saw him, like, oh, Frail from Perm. I think the last time I saw you was Perm. I mean, it's something along those lines. It's like funny, like how when you see God running the world, so when you look through, you know, the scope of what's going on, everything in life, and I'm not talking about like just waking up, which in of itself is a childbirth, in of itself are fascinating things, but just little things. Try to find those nisim, and it's going to. It's impossible not to believe in God once you see that everything that's happening in life is a direct correlation of what God's doing. And like once you have that in your life, you know, we could all be Aiden. We could all start saying Kerbanos. Not it doesn't have to just like Aiden's like on Rav Natanael's team. He says a lot of Kerbanos, so he's joined that as well. All right, moving on. Yeshiva's Mordechai Tzadik. Sometimes in yeshiva we have to chazer everything. People get upset over him. No, he says everything over a million times. It's because, you know, if he doesn't say things over a million times, no one would know anything. No one would know anything. He has to say things over a million times because no one knows anything otherwise. But tomorrow night, after the breakfast before the Chagiga, and then also during the day, Yeshiva's Mordechai Tzadik, which is the yeshiva that only opens up one day a year. Really? All right, or you want to be there. Only one day a year on Purim, the yeshiva opens up. In which people, and it's around, you know, I think it's more in Israel. I never heard about it before in Midaliyah. But it's opened up and people get paid to learn, and we're able to see the godless of Lima Torah. If you don't know about it yet, okay, fine, I don't know if you can still sign up, let's just imagine that you can. Okay, you can still sign up, but let's for the alternate world pretend that you can. And if you want to do it, you should. It's a very, even if you're not going to get paid, it's a very, very big opportunity and schuss to learn on Purim. It's really, you know, we get involved in everything else that's going on in the day that we forget sometimes about the ikar yisod of what life is, which is Limud Torah. So finding time on Purim, which is, okay, you guys don't have families here, but it'll still be a busy and hectic day, and making sure to devote time for learning so that, you know, Aiden, you're going to have two names. Mm-hmm. Mordechai, Torah, Korbanos.
Wow,
you're like elevating. We're gonna tell why. We're about to get that second year deferral from YU, but a very, 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 very important. Also, it's also a big hachana for life. For some of you that might want to learn, you cannot imagine how distracting that is for me. The fact that there's Heineken there, man. For those of you that actually want to have a life that will be consisting of Lima Torah when you leave yeshiva. So those are always good barometers. Like, it's very, you know, even there happen to be some people in Shana'ah who I've never met or seen, which I think is beyond a Shanda and a Busha, that it's March 15th and people cannot know people. But, you know, in any event, for those of you, if you want to have a plan to learn Torah after you leave yeshiva, so the best barometer is when you start having days that are not yeshiva day. Like in yeshiva, you know, you could like bum around, you could sleep a lot, you could still learn several hours while not really doing the yeshiva schedule. But like once it's been a zman, and once it's an off day, once it's a vacation, whatever, nobody's keeping track. So no one will have any taina on anybody if on Purim you're doing other things. You know, actually probably really wouldn't have a taina. Could try to make it legal, but whatever. No one will have any taina on you. But if you want to know whether I'll be mature enough and be able to be at a point where I'll be able to learn as I get older and leave yeshiva, that's really distracting. Purim is going to be a very, very good sign of that. Moving on, after yeshiva's Mordechai HaTzadik, we're going to have the Chagiga. So if anyone comes down to my office, you can try to find the picture from 2005 and 2006. So it was during the Yom HaAtzmaut Chagiga, and I'm the only person not in the picture. So maybe that from that year. So maybe it shows that.
Were you 8?
When I was in yeshiva in 2005. Okay. Okay. I don't know if that means 8, but okay. When I was in, I'm the only person not in that picture.
You know,
so maybe thank you. Maybe that shows I don't like chagigas, but it is important to it's important to be a part of it, and even if you're not, and to dress up and to be like they're really like at no point on Purim, like you should just have a smile, like, you know, ingrained on your face, like, and it should all be like Posner, like when you talk about like Masor Kol, like you just can't get that out of his smile.
That's the most forced smile I've ever,
you know, like
seen.
We all we should just have like the entire day, like even you, Shulman, even you could bring it out. There should like never be a point of not having a smile. And even if that's like not your zone, like Krupp wants to know, like, you know, Thursday is like the second official day or third official day of like non-free agent tampering, and he wants to know like every single person who's been like signed that we've never heard of, who like, you know, just got like absurd amount of money. Even if that's your zone, or if there's March, oh, there probably is March Madness. I don't know if they're probably already playing then. Even if there's March Madness, like, don't be a loser and watching March Madness. Be part of the program. Try to like, you know. Try to bring the mask on and like fool yourself for one day that we can be part of what's going on in the yeshiva's program.
We should do a program.
Okay, then we get to the day of Purim. There's a bunch of mitzvahs ayom that can only be done after Hanesachama. So Shalchmanos, Matanos Avyonim, Sudas Purim, L'chachilo, your second of the Megillah readings. So we have Matanos Avyonim. I don't know if they're here in Ramat Shiloh, but like by me, like it's plastered all around. There's lemon and aid, like little banners they have going on.
Oh, it's not the lemonade.
Yeah, so I was asking my, I was like walking my son to school, and we were like talking about it, and I actually asked my son, like, what's this for? I'm like, you know, Matanos Avyonim, we want to help out on Niyam on Purim. So I asked him, it's just great mussar for where you want your kids to be. I happen to not be rich, so he wasn't really lying, but I asked him, like, are we rich, poor, or middle? And he's like, we're middle. I'm like, oh, how do you know that? It's like, you know, like, we're not poor, like, you know, we could have things, and we're not rich, because we don't have everything. Like, That's a great mindset. But Matanos Avyonim, like if you really think about it, is one of the most beautiful things. So what's going to happen on Purim? I guess you'll all be in this room. I won't, but the rest of you will be in this room with Richarnoff. and you're gonna have, and whatever's gonna go on, everything will be provided for you, and you won't have to worry. But what's gonna go on for many, many, many people around the country, around the world, is that they're unfortunately they would fall into being aniyim. They're poor. They don't have any money, and they would not be able to have the mitzvah and suit as a purge. Like there's certain times of the year, like. You know, I sometimes feel bad, like, actually, often. Like, you make a brisket that, I don't know, costs like some absurd amount of money here. And, you know, you end up, like, you give it to your kids, they take like a bite, but like, they put their mouth on everything. So then you throw out like half a brisket. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, you have people who literally can't afford milk, and like, thank you. And we're throwing out like half a thing of brisket. But unfortunately, there are people who really don't have anything. Like they manage have no money, and you're making it. Question?
Yeah.
Okay, a second. And you're making it possible for them to have, for them to be able to have the simcha of Purim. Like you have time, like simcha, Chanukah. Like those are just time. Like every person, every kid should be able to have. Should just be happy. Like there shouldn't be that they're eating. Some stale bread with like, you know, a half a piece of chicken for 12 people. That's like a very depressing thing. So you each have the opportunity, whatever level, whatever amount of money, you still have the mitzvah. I don't know if you don't have the money, but or you do. You still have the chiyuv to give something, and you should feel that there's somebody out there, whoever you gave to, whatever your shliach was, there's somebody out there. Ben Reinberg, you're responsible for somebody being able to have simchas purim. Like while you're doing whatever you're doing, you were able to reciprocate that for somebody else. That's obviously very, very special, and more so than anything else. Like sometimes you'll have people come to shul or whatever, organizations. You can definitely relate to this. You collect money, and everything is all good. Ways you need to raise money, but you're like, okay, whatever. Like, if I don't give, what's really going to be different? You know, like if the world will go on. But here, if they don't get money from someone, they like literally have no. Unless the supermarket's like, yeah, sure, meat, chicken, wine, grain, it's all in the house, take that. So, I don't know, I've never witnessed that in the supermarket in my entire life. So I imagine that's not a common thing, although it could be. I imagine that's not super, super common. So you each have the opportunity to make sure that somebody has the opportunity to have Sudas Purim and Simchas Purim. That's a big schuss. Yes, Zach?
How do
Aniyim
fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach or Matanah Levinim?
I'll talk about that after. That's a good question. Okay, next up,
Shalom.
You want it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Next up. One second. Next up. Shackle. Amen. Next up, Mishloach Manos.
No Amen on their court.
Mishloach Manos is a fascinating thing. A lot of people get like very, very stressed and. Nervous, and it is, like, you give out, like, a million shalchmanos, and you have to have a lot, and harder thing is, like, I happen to not know most of the people in my building, and I have zero intention of going up and down six floors and giving it to every person in my building. But there are bigger tzaddikim in my building and my complex who are going to come to me. So, you know, it's, like, the same thing, like, you know, you sometimes, the reason why you don't want your pants to be too big, because you don't want to have them fall down and get caught with your pants down. It's the same thing. You don't want to get caught. Somebody comes to your house with shalchmanos, and you got nothing to reciprocate. So it could be very, very stressful. There were two guys in yeshiva my first year. They were roommates. They didn't get along. Maybe there's people in this room that can relate to that, or people, or like Zach Schwartz, and he listens to the recording. Maybe he can relate to that. I don't know. Your roommate. Maybe people can relate to that. And I told one of them, like, you should really give your roommate shalchmanos. Like, you're like, why? I'm not friends. I'm like, that's dafka why you should give him shalchmanos. Shalchmanos is not about giving.
Is ish l'reihu. So you don't fulfill the mitzvah if you give it to somebody you don't like.
That's where I'm
no.
Off.
No, but you can. It's dafka reyes. Like you're create. Okay, you hate the person, maybe not, but like you're trying to create. We all want to love everyone, so you're trying to create reyes. You're trying to create friendship. So when you give it to your best friend, whoever your best friend is, your best friend knows you and him are cool. Like he knows, like, you know, he'll be at your off-rub, like he'll be the first person you dance with at your wedding. Like he knows that. But then, like, you could have, like, guy, like, number 57 down the list. Like, he has no, like, Krupp has no clue what that guy thinks of him. And if he gets a shalchmanos, like, imagine for Zen Krupp, like, you know, your roommate gives you a shalchmanos, so, like, your boy's with, like, you know, you do legal, illegal thing, like, whatever you're doing with him. Like, you know, you hang out all the time. He gives you shalchmanos, like, you're not thinking anything of it. And then comes along the guy, like, you're not such good friends with, and you're like, wow, you view me as that, like, you brought me shalchmanos. Like, it elevates you and it raises you so much. So I would definitely, you could give your best friend shalchmanos. I'm not saying not to give your best friends, But you should really try to find like that guy in yeshiva who maybe you're not so close to, and even rebellion. This is not a cue like for you to give. I don't need candy, and I don't like candy. I don't need it. So this is not a way, but for maybe somebody who you're not so close with, to like try to like to dafka show that person like it means a lot to them, and it'll mean a lot more than like, you know, if the person knows that you're very close to them, like okay, fine, it's like inevitable. But you give it to somebody else who maybe you dafka find annoying or whatever, you know, that would be very, very good. And last but not least, after we've done all of that, you're going to daven mincha. So not last but not least, second to last but not least. You're going to daven mincha. You should daven mincha for your suda. You shouldn't be drunk. You should like be intelligent, but like, you know, whatever. You got to do what you got to do. I'm not anti-alcohol, so you do what you got to do. You should daven mincha, and then you're going to come to the suda. The suda is like really, halavai, all our lives were changed by like everything else we said, but the suda is where I've really seen people's lives mamish change. Like you can be a different person. Like you're able to bring everything into just having like an aspect of kedusha. Like Ben, what do you tell me on Shabbos? What do you want to bring back to your house when you go home? Okay, you said Zmiros, but learning Gemara is also good. But like, you know, singing Zmiros at home, like you're gonna be at a meal. Even Shomer, you definitely don't like singing. Even if you don't like singing, bring it out on Purim. Bring it out. Bring out your true self. The mahus of yourself. My last, every 6 years, I get like totally drunk. It just happens to be 06, 12, and 18. So I got two more years. But in 18, our last...
Mark, I'm going to come to your house and make sure you get...
06, 12, 18.
Yeah,
2 years till 24. Hopefully, I'll also be the end of Joseph Biden's turn in the White House. But in any event. If you deserve to be scared. All right, guys.
Sean Gimel.
Yeah, Sean Gimel. In 2018, my last Purim in the States before we made Aliyah. So, whatever, you gotta go out with a bang.
2 years will be your first time in Israel.
No, 06 also. All right. In 2018, so there, we had a lot of people at our suda. I remember a couple things that did happen. Number one, thanking all the women for not singing along because, you know, feminism just needs to go. And I remember I gave someone a bracha who didn't have a child. You should be blessed to have a child. Okay, I thought there was nothing wrong with that. I thought it was like your true mahus. Evidently, it came out after the fact. That's not an appropriate thing to say. I'll still say now, like I didn't, you know. I haven't drank. All I have is a coffee today, so I'm totally fine. Like, I didn't have any alcoholic beverage. I would still say today it was totally appropriate and totally fine to say that line. There's nothing wrong to say that, but that's what happens in Perm. You're true mahus. Like, you're caring for other people, whatever difficult times they're going through. You know that comes out on Perm, and you have to bring out your inner self. Don't be afraid. Say Divrei Torah. You know, commit to things. Commit to being a real Ben Torah and a real Eved Hashem, and for everything that you're going to build off, to really taking those next steps. Like you'll see, Purim, like it could be a facade, but it could really be real. There's mamish people who, you know, were far worse. You know, it's never the guys that aren't here. You know, it's far worse than anybody in this room Purim time who now are learning in. You know, some of the most serious yeshivas in the world for years and years, because on Purim they just found it. And then you have other people, like they'll see like very shortly after. Like, I remember one of the most inspiring things I saw in my Shana Aleph is we daven Maariv. Whenever we daven Maariv, there was a guy who was hugging, the Aron Kodesh. And then the next morning we came down for Shacharis, and he was still hugging the Aron Kodesh. And that was one of the most inspiring things I ever saw in my life. And he is a different person today because of that than he was prior to that day. So you can really, you know, whatever you want to do, just be real and to understand that, you know, everything you're doing then, it's not fake. You all have incredible kochos. Even the one who stole my water. You all have, and even you, leave us sensitive. Okay, thank you. You all have really incredible kochos, and bring out your real self. Like, whip off the mask, like whatever you've been afraid to do. I see it. You know, we talked last time about consistency is a plague of Leiva Torah, but another plague of Leiva Torah is there's too many guys here who need a hedge on life. Like you're all hedging. Like I'm too afraid to be all in. Because what's going to happen if I'm all in? Oh, maybe somebody's going to look at me differently. Oh, maybe my parents are going to judge me. Or maybe my friends are going to judge me. Or maybe, you know, I'm not going to fit within this crowd. So realize as you're getting different, like your friends are, doing whatever they're doing in whatever places, or if they're not in yeshiva or seminary and wherever they are, whatever they are doing, that's not who each of you are. You're all different than you were 6 months ago, and you're continuing to elevate it and stop hedging on. Oh, I have to have half the life because I can't have it. Like, oh, if I don't have Florida with me, like what's going to be? Like, no, don't hedge. Go to the Torah call. I'm too afraid. Because what if I devote an entire summer to learning Torah? Like, can you think of anything in the world that could possibly be? Some of you might have to re-listen to the recording to find the hidden messages that came into each of you, But that's a big shtickle. There's no hedging. Like, be ready to be real. Be ready to be real. Thank you very much. And realize that each of you are different, and realize that you're really building. Thank you. You're building families. You're building your futures, and you're gonna see it. You're gonna see it on perm. You're gonna bring out your true self, and you're gonna stop being, oh, I have to have a part of this life while having. All right. One more minute. While having a part of that life, while holding on to something else, and be ready to be real. We'll just conclude with them, and we're not going to have side comments on it. But one of the reasons why I just admire Ramo more than any person I've ever met is he's just so real. Okay, is it crazy or not crazy? As I tell other, like, you can't really do anything nowadays if you're not crazy. Like, you know, you got to deal with, like, you know, this is like good. Like, I, you know, it's like a reality. Like, four people are just looking at their phones the whole time. Like, it's not even like, you know, when I used to like pass notes in school, like we didn't want people to know. Like no one tries to hide it anymore because whatever. But like, he's just such a real person. Like, be real, find your real self, and be able to do that, and continue to build, and just. Go all out on Purim, find everything that's in you, and realize that you can have a meal, a day, a month, a year, and a life that's just infused with Lima Torah, that's infused with singing, that's infused with Kedusha, and all the Tumah that we have in our life. Like, we don't need that anymore. We can get away from that, and we can find our true inner selves.